lot of people speak this morning. So whenever you come up to the podium, I want everybody to give whoever's up there their full attention. Don't say nothing, because I want you to give them respect. That way they can give you respect. So if get out of hand, I've got a man that I don't want to have to look at him. Alrighty. All right. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this day that you've given us, dear Lord, and thank you for the number that come out of this meeting, dear Lord. Lord, just guide and direct each and every one of us and help us make the right decisions for our county. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I need approval of the minutes of the 19th.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson?
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor? Have y'all had a chance to look at the vouchers?
Move them.
Okay, we're going to hold the vouchers, okay? Yes. Any constitutional officers here like to speak? Nope. Need a motion to go into public hearing?
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson?
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor?
Aye.
We have the one that's tabled from the 19 of the city by Stephen Ridge requesting a special exception be granted. Section 4.3.5, special exceptions number 4, campgrounds are less than 100 campsites to defend land owners in the vehicle on a district in accordance with the participated. Located on property described as follows: Dixon County Parcel 01-10-13-00-00-45-13-00-01-480 Northeast 242 Avenue, Florida. 336 here, Commission District 2.
Mr. Riggs, this time you would like to come up and speak.
3 minutes, sir.
Yep, and everyone gets 3 minutes. Now, if you got someone on your behalf, you think you need more than 3 minutes, they can give you their 3 minutes.
Yes, sir. I'm good. I probably won't even take 3 minutes.
Okay.
I just want to say thank y'all. Good morning for hearing me out. I'm Steve Riggs. I'm seeking approval to put 20 RV spots on my 28 acres in Old Town. I understand, you know, the neighbors in the surrounding neighborhood have some concerns, and I certainly appreciate that. I've lived there all my life on the same piece of property. As far as what I've understood, some of the problems, you know, would be traffic, noise, stuff like that. Completely understand about the traffic situation. The corner of 791st and 242nd is my driveway where there's a intersection right here. It makes a right-hand turn. Over the past 4 years, I've had 3 different incidences where people have gone through my fence into my pasture. I mean, that renders that pasture virtually unusable for me. I can't put livestock in there knowing that at any time somebody go through there. You know, it's not like they come by the house and say, hey, you know, went through your fence. They're gone. Anything that's in that pasture is going to be gone. Noise, you know, I don't see where 20 RVs are going to, you know, make that much noise. I have a neighbor directly to the north of me that has numerous, probably more than 20 guinea hens. Constantly on my property, constantly making noise. Never complained, never said anything to her, never asked anybody anything. You know, so I completely understand where everybody's coming from. I doubt that anybody in here has a more vested interest in that area than I do. So with that being said, you know, I welcome everybody's opinions. You know, I certainly didn't come here to turn neighbor against neighbor. I never would want anything like that. So I'm going to leave it in y'all's hands, give everybody plenty of time.
Got a couple questions for you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Did you apply for a 20 RV site? And, you know, at the last meeting I helped get this table because we had passed other ones in the county in your similar situation. But after doing research, sir, is it correct that you opposed RVs in the past, put out petitions on two different occasions where people in that area was wanting to put in RV parks and y'all opposed it? So if you did that, how can you justify me come here?
Okay.
And ask for something that in the past you advocated against.
Okay. I don't recall it being two different situations, but in one, yes, I did. I didn't advocate against anything. I just said my piece. The reason for that is I have 28 acres to work with, and at this point that property was 5 acres that they were wanting to put RV lots on.
So you did oppose an RV?
I did, yes.
Okay. You got anybody else on behalf of Mr. Riggs? All right. I know we got a bunch of opposition, don't we, Mr. Leon? You had a bunch of people to call, too, didn't you? Did I mess up when I said for everybody to call your office? Okay.
No, you didn't, not in my opinion.
Okay. Well, I've got some opposition here that would like to speak. Mr. Fred. Mr. Fred here? Yep.
Council, neighbors, and friends. My name is Fred Bravo. I own property. I have a home site. I have a home, actually, a few lots away from Mr. Riggs' site. And, I'd like to voice my opposition to a mobile home park or RV park campground within a little over 400 feet from my home site. I have 5.7 acres that back up to the Suwannee River Water Management District property, and I have several concerns. My concerns are basically the impact on our neighborhood from transient citizens, people who are coming and going that have no vested interest in our neighborhood. Impact that they may have in our environment, not just the impact on our roads, but the security of our neighborhood, and the impact on the sensitive Flatwood Swamp that our properties back up to. It's my understanding that when the land use plan was developed, it was determined that approximately 5.7 acre plots. Those lands that back up to the floodplain of the Suwannee River, the floodwater flows, would be 5 acres, and in some exceptions, 2.5 acres. So I'm here to say that I support that continued plan for the neighborhood, and because of the environmentally sensitive nature of that floodplain, which I know takes up roughly the last acre of the back of my property, and I have seen it along the Mr. Riggs' property as well. I'm concerned with the impact that the use of the people would have on our water supplies and how they would deal with their wastewater in that area. I know there are people on this board that have a lot of experience in those fields. And I'm concerned about what those impacts would be. Should the board decide to go forward with this, I would ask that they have a reasonable environmental impact assessment, have it designed by design engineers, qualified and certified design engineers, and built and maintained by people of that same quality. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. We got Mr. Ron.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. We have
Well, first of all, as I said, our property is right next to the Ray's property. We have Donic livestock who eat, sleep, and live on a pasture that is separated from their property by a 4-foot fence. I have livestock guardian dogs that are there to protect the livestock against wild pigs, wild dogs. I don't want them having to protect the livestock from people who are stupid enough to think that they can climb over the fence and ride our animals, feed our animals, or do damage to our animals, because we've heard from alpaca ranchers throughout the country that this is things that happen. People see them, they think, oh, well, it's fun to go and ride a llama or an alpaca, and not good things happen. I would correct Mr. Ray's comment about 20 guinea hens. We have probably close to 60. And when we moved into that property 13 years ago, we did our due diligence. We realized that we were backed up on the reserve. We had two very good neighbors, Fred and Kitty Bravo, and Joe and Jenny Riggs, his parents. Unfortunately, his mother passed away. But when we first had the incident, my wife spoke to Joe and said, is it okay? I mean, you can't control where the guinea hens go. He said, let them come. They eat all the insects. So, it's a little bit disingenuous for him to say, oh, well, we have noisy guinea hens. We also have geese. They make much more noise than the guinea hens. So it's not a matter of whether there's noise or not. People can have whatever they want on their property. But if they go ahead with this proposal, we've already seen the excess traffic going down. I'm not going to say definitely, but we've been told that there are already people on their property who are living temporarily. The impact in terms of the people coming and being here, as I said, the pasture right next to their field has livestock on it, and Phoebe's brother and father have helped us repair their fencing along there. So, we have no negatives rates or in doing whatever he wants on the property.
Screaming,
unfortunately, we are very much opposed to his proposal.
Thank you.
Miss Pam.
I would like to
Okay. So you've given your minutes up, Miss Campbell. Okay. Mr. Warren.
Hello. Good morning. My name is Brian Barrow. I am on the same road on 242nd as Riggs. I've been in opposition since the last meeting, and there was a question whether Mr. Riggs had discussed with any of the neighbors, and I have not heard from Mr. Riggs at all about his campground or his proposal. I have the same concerns as some of the other neighbors and the previous speakers, and my question is, there was a question before about any site engineering and engineering. Still haven't seen any of that work, right? I also have a question on what's the end goal here? Does he have a business plan? What is, are we talking about 55 and up campers that are less than 10 years old? How many 55, 65-year-old women are going to be buying, brand-new campers or campers that are less than 10 years old? Who's going to monitor and maintain that? And if he's concerned about people driving through the fence, where are they going to drive into? If they're crashing into the fence, how are they going to crash into the campus? Right. So if the goal is to bring revenue to the county, you know, I'm not sure that having 20 campers, old campers, senior citizens on fixed income is an approach. I'm not against campgrounds. I like campgrounds. But this is really in the back of a residential neighborhood. And so it would introduce a lot of additional traffic. And so, like I said, I have a doorbell on my gate, but I haven't heard it wrong. So.
Thank you. Mrs. Campbell.
Good morning, and thank you, Board, for allowing me. I'm going to read my notes because I want to get all my points in my 3 and my 6 minutes. If DSA is an area whose environment is sensitive and the proposed campus is close to the river, how is the septic system or major dump station be safe to the environment? And what happens during flood time? During dry season, traffic kicks up a lot of dust. Such traffic for such a business would kick up even more dust, which is detrimental to both human and animal lungs. With extra traffic, would our road eventually need to be paved, and who pays for it? Would our property values go up? Would our property taxes go up because it's on paved roads? Would that lead to easier access in the future for city water lines to be flooded? If the majority of the residents oppose Mr. Ray's proposal to change zoning for such a business, would or could the commissioners override the majority wishes and vote the exemption through anyway? As we all know, some of your predecessors have had some bad track records, and I'm not suggesting anything, but I don't want to be naive either and think that this could ever happen again. I understand that, well, at first I thought that Leon and Steve were friends, they're just acquaintances, but Steve might have friends among the board here, and I just want to know if you were friends, can you honestly be not biased with your vote with friends? There's been a lot of talk online as well as on Facebook about a person being able to do what they please on their property and have any kind of business run at. But a lot of home businesses do not affect the neighbors. Having excessive traffic, noise, and possibility of out-of-towners, city people coming into the country, racing four-wheelers on a dirt road and our swales because they're in the country would indeed affect the neighbors on 79 First Street. The only reason I brought that up was because I had some people that were visiting Grandpa's place, and they were tearing up and down. I stopped them and had a nice talk with them and let them know where they could go, and they thanked me and apologized profusely. But, you know, stuff like that can happen. If this ordinance were to pass, what's to stop other campers from popping up, or campgrounds from popping up in other quiet neighborhoods? Many of us in here trade chose to live there because most lots are 2.5 and 5 acre lots, and some of us have multiple lots, like me and my husband, we have 12.5 acres. And, you know, where we are more secluded and not on top of each other, like in a city lot, as to privacy. Adding many more people in one place would disrupt the peace that we move in the neighborhood for. 20 years ago, my husband and I wanted a zoning change for our property so we could have only 4 or 5 campsites, and we had 10 acres at the time, not 5 acres. Yeah, I'm the one. And we were shot down. Years later, John and Linda Dials wanted a campground on Purvis Landing, Northeast Jefferson, on 272 Avenue. They were shot down. Now we see Steve wanting to do the same thing. And by the way, 20 years ago, it was Steve Riggs and his ex-wife who circulated the petition to oppose our zoning change for a campground for these very same reasons that many of us are here opposing him today. If this were to pass, why would he get a special exemption and no one else? I now understand why the opposition was up back then, which is why I'm here tonight, this morning, to ask you not to allow this exemption to go through for such a zoning change in our neighborhoods now. I am an avid camper. My family has always camped. I love camping. And yes, they're not all raucous. A lot of them are quiet. Even our biker camps are quiet. And there are times that there are ruckus, and the engineer does not necessarily have to be involved. I see the word campground, and I think campers, families, motorhomes, tents, weekend warriors. He didn't say, he had mentioned on the 19th, over 55 RVs less than 10 years old. Well, that wasn't mentioned before. That may or may not have been a game changer, but the word campground was there. And I'm a camper, and I know what campgrounds do. And
Chairman Knapp speak to her because she accused me of being friends and acquaintances. She failed to understand that Donald and Donald is my wife's parents.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Well, Ms. Leon, we all work with everybody in the county. So, you know, I've actually been to Mr. Riggs. I'm the one that, when I first got elected 4 years ago, he called me and started asking me these questions. I gave him a price on the public supply well, told him, before you spend any money, you need to go to Swanee River Water Management. Then you need to bring it to the board to get approval, because I didn't want to take his money and then it not get approved. So, you know, some people say, well, I'm friends with him. I'm friends with everybody. You know, I work for a lot of people in this county, and thank you very much for that. But I'm talking about blood kin that I have had to make some hard decisions on. That's why I'm here, you know. Y'all put me here to make hard decisions, so this is going to be one of them. Does that answer your question, Mr. Leon? Because you work with everybody here. Everybody in this whole county can say, he's my friend. So, you know.
I'm pretty sure I have no.
Sorry.
That's my wife.
Anyway, and the other thing as far as my opposition, he's my neighbor. I want to stay neighbors. I don't want to burn bridges. I don't want to have anything against him. You know, if he's got a couple people, you know, that are staying there and a little bit of cha-ching to help out and whatever, but campgrounds, no.
Thank you, Ms. Cole.
One quick question. So you'd be okay with the illegal campground?
No, that's another special exemption for later on.
Okay.
Thank you, Board.
I don't know if this has got anything to do with it, but Richard McDonald. You want to speak on this subject here?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
My name is Mr. McDonald. Probably have the ire of some of my fellow residents here. I believe that development in Dixie County comes low. And for anybody who's trying to pursue any type of project in Dixie County, is worthwhile for the county. For any type of development, you know. But I feel Mr. Riggs, unfortunately, for working for a developer, that he has many hurdles to go over before that particular development can be put on a waterway. I came before this board 4 years ago with a property on 349, 10 acres, while I was developing a 10-acre site in Live Oak for a multifamily project. I went to the zoning department. I asked what was allowed for use on my property in ESA-4. They told me I could have campground or call a recreational park, they call it. I went to the building department. Told me that I would need a special exemption. I came before the board. The board denied it because there was another park down the street 6 miles. I'm not sure how that affected my development that had absolutely zero nuisance value to it. I'm bordered on each side, on two sides, by two farms and a wooded lot on the third side. It's on a highway frontage. Mr. Riggs is asking the county and residents of Dixie County to go to pay for access to his property. Motorhomes fall under heavy use vehicles, and anybody can Google the impact on infrastructure and highways on heavy use vehicles. And the most interesting thing about that is they hurt the road system at a lower speed than they do at a higher speed. 349 is built for heavy traffic. I doubt Fergus is, and certainly Mr. Ridge Road is not. So the impact on the road system is felt by residents, unfortunately. And that, I think, is a, since it's a cost to the county for continued upkeep, and it would be a cost to the taxpayers for that continued upkeep, I think that's something Mr. Riggs would have to address first before anybody would get any type of approval. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else would like to speak on this? All right. What y'all want to do? Daniel?
I think I'll bring up the first one. The table did ask Mr. Riggs if he had the funds to mill that road in, addressing your question there, sir. On the roads, on my point of it, they've somebody going to, on their side, do maintenance on the road to get the folks up to par to be able to justify putting the park in there.
County road on the public has better build on the road on purpose, but certainly not developed at all. And as far as the noise factor, it will be a lot noisier for motorhomes or trailers to go down a dusty, sunny summer road.
Yeah, we got that.
Only other thing I want to add to Mr. Riggs that most people here may not be aware of, his parcel is not part of the subdivision. They're kind of in a unique situation there. And what I mean by that, when that people first lived on that property, all those subdivisions in front of those was hunting land. It was owned by the timber company. Nobody lived back there. They was the only ones that lived back there. And then the timber company land got sold and subdivisions got put in front of their property. But that property's been owned before there was even subdivisions or anything in that area. So I just wanted to let y'all know that on that side. Yes, ma'am.
But he didn't ask for campground back then when our neighborhood
was sold. Yes, ma'am. That is 100% correct.
I'm going to make a motion to deny on location. Residents empty zoned area. It's just stay that way.
Second. We got a motion to deny, Mr. Wood. Ticket, Mr. Hatch. Any more comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Riggs, you've been denied the campground. So if any of y'all are here for that, y'all are more than welcome to leave. Or y'all can hang out. We'd love to have y'all. But thank y'all very much.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
A petition by George and Linda Wise, located on the property described as follows: Dixie County Parcel Number 15 Southeast 892 Avenue, Old Town, Florida, 3268. To request a variance for the reduction of side setback 10 feet, 5 feet to the placement of the sewer shed, setback reduction to avoid tree removal by petition dated 1/13/2023, section 4.77. I looked at it.
actually went down and looked at the site. He's got some pretty old,
rustic trees.
Right. Yeah, it would be a shame to cut them. And he's asking for a variance to do that shit.
You have any opposition? Yeah. Anyone here opposing this? I've actually spoken to Mr. Wise also, and the same thing as what Leon said. And has any of y'all heard anything on this? Okay. Anybody on the phone? Motion to approve. Mr. Hatch to approve. Second, Mr. Steveson, all in favor.
Motion to go back to the board.
Motion.
The motion of Steveson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Foote, all in favor.
Resolution 2020-11,
George and Linda Wise.
Motion.
Mr. Hatch, Mr. Steveson, all in favor.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Miss Donna Lee.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, I'm a resident of Gilchrist County. However, I am here representing the Alzheimer's Association that covers 16 counties in North Central Florida. I cover from essentially one county line west over past Leon, so Tallahassee, and then go all the way almost to Jacksonville. They completed with my bosses 8 weeks ago and said, I want you to forget that I work for Alachua County and Leon County. I want to focus on rural Florida. I want to focus on where I live. And the three counties I want to start in is Dixie, Lee, and Gilchrist County. So having said that, I am trying to infiltrate your county to talk about Alzheimer's and dementia. Not the disease, but caregivers and families go through to support someone living with that. I see a whole bunch of headlines. A whole bunch of are either in it now, have been through it, or seventh will go through it quickly. It is increasing rapidly, and there's not enough help out there. Here's what I want to do, and here's what I need your help. I want to get in this community. I want to get in front of groups of people that are already gathered. My first introduction to Dixie County was over at the library. I brought our purple van, it's called the Brain Bus, to come and sit out in the parking lot, and we had visitors throughout the afternoon, and I was able to make a lot of contacts and be able to kind of get a plan in place to include this meeting. So I want to keep talking to the residents, and here's some other things I want you to think about. For instance, when I walked through the door here, I spoke with three lovely gentlemen from our local law enforcement department. You know that when...
That guy. Was he one of them?
I think he's lovely.
Lovely. Don't have no time.
So, in my history of my career, and like I said, 8 weeks ago, I started with the Alzheimer's Association. Let me tell you what I've done for 20-plus years prior to that. I'm a former firefighter and fire chief in rural Georgia, Vidalia, Georgia.
Hey.
So they grow the onions. We all know the onions. So I was chief of volunteer fire department, South Thompson Volunteer Fire Department, for many, many years. I've had a 20-year relationship with the American Red Cross. I was a disaster director for them. High-level operations management. I handled non-traditional and hurricane responses. I stood up the response to Hurricane Michael that wiped out kind of my city. They moved me in place 24 hours earlier, and we sheltered probably one of the worst sheltering operations and heartbreaking events I've ever seen in my life. I did things like coordinate porta potties for shelters that no longer had running water. And we wound up passing a hat to collect money to pay the homeless population to drag the garbage cans from the school gym to the water pool down there, and we paid them and let them eat and sleep and join that shelter to flush the toilet inside there. That's the kind of work I did for a long, long time. Now, I want to get out of that, have a different life, not be on call 24/7. But I have an 84-year-old father. Now, he doesn't need care right now, but man, he needs a warden, and that's my job. I can get to him a hot second of unit looking at it. And I'm blessed to live in a neighborhood where we truly are a village. These people take care of my dad when I can't be there. They make sure that he's eating. They go by and check on him, take his medication. We have numerous people in our neighborhood that does that kind of thing every single day. Everywhere's not like that, and I know that. I know that. So, speaking of the law enforcement officers, we want to work with local law enforcement, fire departments, 911 centers, and dispatch centers to equip their toolboxes with coping skills and recognition of the difference between behavioral health and noncompliant orders and dementia. Know what happens to an older person if they ever get Baker Acts? They often cannot get accepted into a memory care unit. What happens to them then? Do they get stuck in behavioral health centers? Do they get stuck at home? It makes life difficult. But I was a fire chief. I didn't have those skills. And I wish, man, I wish I had them. And these officers agree that we need some better skills. So what we'd like to do is roll out a program, and I want to do it right here. The first counties in the state of Florida, I want to do it right here in rural Florida. But we have workshops for us to deliver, whether it's your church group, a meeting like this, senior center, the RV park, like Strawberry Fields, I was in contact with them. Why can't I get 10 minutes ahead of bingo night? Say, did you recognize the 10 warning signs of dementia and Alzheimer's? Let me show you what that looks like. We have a conversation plan that lets the family sit down and say, okay, what are we seeing? And they write it out. Here's the plan. How to get a dignified diagnosis. Can you imagine living with something like this where your thoughts just don't make sense anymore? And then someone is talking about you as if you're not there anymore. It teaches families how to have a direct, meaningful, productive conversation with medical providers. And then that person gets a dignified diagnosis and we get a plan together for what to do next. Talks about effective communication strategies, how to approach someone. For instance, if you have someone that has dementia, you should never approach them from the side or the back. You should come around, come at them forward. Don't argue with them and say, no, it's not 1942 and you're 20 years old and you're back serving and wherever. No, meet them where they are because their world's not going to change. They're not. Ask them where they are. Keep them calmer. Make life better for them in that moment. Teach those kind of things to familiar with. But nobody else does that. In addition to that, we talk about money matters. When you get a diagnosis, how does that change estate planning? How does that change how you communicate with insurance companies, Medicare, your supplemental insurance? How do you then change how you're going to manage your day-to-day finances? And their skills, for instance, some people want to be able to pay the bills every month. You're hardwired to say, I've got to write checks every month. Are they now writing 15 checks for the same bill every month? That can cause problems. So instead, why don't you put a separate account, put $100 in there. Let them write 100 checks if they don't do that much. And don't mail them on the way. Keep them involved. Keep them dignified. Put the family in a better place. The holiday. They start managing expectations. No, grandma does not want to get somewhere else that she's not from her career. And then once she gets there, she realizes, this is scary. I want to leave. If you had a conversation with all the other family and say, don't be pissed off. Don't be mad that she wants to leave in 15 minutes. And I'm going to take her home because I want her comfortable. You know how to navigate that conversation? Let's touch on it. So my request,
oh, you good. You different than the other people. No, you good.
Okay, all right. So, I need some help. I would love to, again, come speak to your church group. Anywhere people are gathered, I don't care if it's 4, 40, or 400. But I want to start here in D.C., Gilchrist, and Lee County. These are places of home to me. I want to start here. I got a fiscal business card. I definitely want to speak with the whole row over there. Don't leave. Come and see in just a minute. And anybody else. So help me get in there.
Yeah.
Give me
one of your phone
calls. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Now, I'm only going to give it to you if you call me to use it. Want email address, text message, smoke signal, something. Thank you.
You got a row of young ladies on that back row back there. That would probably help you out tremendously.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Ms. Lee, is that all you got to say for us?
Yes, sir.
All right. As you passing them out, I'm going to call up the next person. Mr. Copeland. Thank you very much, Ms. Donna. Yes, ma'am.
Pretty awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
Morning, board.
Morning. Yeah. Morning.
All right. We've had a very good month. We're down to one installation waiting, but we've been whittling those down. We can continue to do the blow-offs and the short lines are flushed. The new business system, we've been up and running on it for a month. As far as the billing portal, it has been very successful. We had 159 payments by credit card just on the portal itself, and then 53 ACH payments. So it's worked out very well. And again, Scott, thank you for putting it up there. Also, this is probably the first time who knows how long that we put late notice up. New system. Puts letters out, sends them to people. They can do it electronically or physical. So this is the first time we've actually charged late fees. And we've also, the board came up that if you're 30 days late, we're going to send you a letter. 60 days late, we're going to send you a termination letter. And then in 90 days, we're terminating your service. We have a lot of cash dues, and we're living on the channel also. Actually, since we start sending the letters out, all of a sudden we get payments.
You cut that valve off of that.
Oh, yeah.
We got some payments.
We had one guy, and I'm not going to mention any names, but was bought the property, lived there for 6 months, never put the water in his name. And so that was kind of interesting. You know, he's upset because we locked him out. We do have a few issues. I personally went out this last few days, and we call them work orders, but it was three reads, and second thing out. I did 105 of them in the last 3 days, and I found out we have a lot of bad news. What I also did was carry a 5 gallon bucket around with me, and turn the meter on or water on. So far, I know of personally 63 of them that are bad. So we have a little bit of a job to get that corrected. The meters are not cheap. We also are trying to change our meters to the radio read. So I won't have to go out and look at 105 in 3 days. We're looking at some grants and try to get some grants and send me in the right direction. That would be greatly appreciated. Aeration blower that was repaired is now installed and working properly. Our number 3 water pump also has been repaired and back in working order. We did repair the water main line that was over the Corbin Bridge. That took us about 5-6 hours. Not too many interruptions. Luckily, there was only 6 houses on that particular line, so we didn't have to close the whole town down and for water alert. One thing I'm proud of, the 21-22 audit, we are ready for it already. This is the first time I think it's been done before June when it's due. For at least 10 years. So we are ready, and the accountant that does the audit, he's already been notified. He's on his way, hopefully in the next week, to come pick up all the paperwork, and we can get that year's audit done and over with. That's it. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Steve. People don't realize the amount of what you and your staff and your board have been doing down there, too.
We
turn things around, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been a challenge. And so I thank you. You come down to all the meetings and everything, and you're very involved with us, so thank you very much.
One thing that's disappointing to me is I lost that chili contest over the weekend. I know something wasn't right about it.
Mr. Greg?
I believe it was.
Good morning. Just quickly, 362nd, 364, the construction project. Roads contractor has mailed those contracts back. They signed those. So where'd it go?
Yeah, he'll be signing it today.
The EOC expansion project, we are finishing those revisions this week. Expect to be sending those to Brown and his staff first of the week, getting their approval on that. And I'll finish those up from that point forward. Old Town Fire Station, working on those revisions as well, pretty much on the same schedule. The library roof repair, where we took the course, but we're evaluating that and determining what the plan will be to repair that roof and make it all service. It's been helpful for doing the whole roof instead of just section. PDBG project up here, May 95th, 97th. We're just waiting, kind of just waiting on the contract. From that'll be forthcoming. We've completed appropriations request for the seawall and the Sheriff's Office Evidence Building.
That 351 project you're talking about, that is Timbers Road, correct?
That yes, that's 95th and 97th. Yes, yes. Timbers Road and then the middle, what I call the middle road. There's one back towards Hardy's. That's not as bad, so it's not that one.
Okay. Well, I got asked about that.
Yes.
I told him that it was submitted and we're waiting to hear back from them.
Right.
Done deal. And I want to thank you because you've been working on this for, I know, at least a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah. That's a big project. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. John.
I don't have anything much to say.
Thank you, sir. Miss Cindy. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Freeman. Josh is not here.
He's in class. He's at one of the mosquito control classes over in Gainesville.
Okay. Mr. Latson, he's not.
They're burning today at that Robert's Curb.
Mr. Leon. So,
But at the end of the day, this is what's going to cost us to get y'all schooled on how to do this correctly. That's what cost us. Get you educated.
Well, if you get our LDRs corrected to where it matches the law.
I want to ask a question. On this, on this training, I know we are trying to come up with another board. Okay, so they wouldn't need to come and get some of this training or nothing? Okay, okay. I'll just ask. I've got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, to accept it. Perfect. We've got a second, Mr. Hatch.
Now let's discuss it.
End of discussion.
I mean, this is pretty cut dry. He's going to take and go through each section because each section in the LDR has identified the procedures on how the backing process is satisfied. Looking back at how hindsight all this thing is going, this should have been addressed when we drafted when you get straight. Identifying all that.
It could have been a whole lot more.
Oh, yeah, I think he's been more than fair with us. He's been extremely helpful and going to work with Joy, too.
What's the price tag?
$13,750. But there's a lot of workshops.
No, I just don't find it to educate the
adults. So he has a bulk.
We got a motion.
Okay. I think you're on the right track, though. If we're doing a planning board, and while they're doing training, wouldn't it be beneficial for the people and the residents, even if the volunteer on the planning board is what they pay, to be out there to be trained at the same time?
Okay. This here, I got ahead of myself. This here is mainly to help that man right there. And whenever he goes out here, you know, you need to do this, this, and this.
So, just so everybody understands what happened. Crab traps. We went down there and we processed it through code. The officer brought it to the magistrate heard it, ruled it for us. They appealed it. It goes to court. The court upheld our ruling. They appealed it. It went to the appellate court. We had to hire an appellate court lawyer. We had to get a bomb. Expensive. We spent over $13 million in that case. The judge ruled that we procedurally processed that it was a land use item and not a code. The land use code book identify the way that it should have been processed by a code enforcement. Had adopted a code enforcement order. All of this without going back and changing our rule book. But now, going back and when we're done, I promise you. But we will have training, but I promise.
district.
All right, we got a motion in the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Ms. Barbara?
I'm not even sure how to ask the question, but I'm seeing. Is this a case? That was a call? Those are huge, you know, containers on property.
Like a storage shed? A conex box?
That's what she's talking about when she says shipping containers. I'm pretty sure you're talking about like the back of a semi type storage shed.
Yeah, only if on a property type. I guess it's okay.
Well, you're not living
now. Okay, I
just, you know, so it's okay. Yes. Thank you. Okay, that's Ms. Barbara right there. Barbara Cummins. And thank you.
We were very good at that for a while, and then we switched off again.
Yep, yep.
We need to pick it back up.
Yep, yep. Keep me in line. Keep me in line. All right, Ms. Leon, you done? Mr. Brown.
Darren Brown.
It's your name to clarify that.
A little bit thicker.
Matt Ferguson, Administrative Chief. Just a few quick updates. We got our appropriations in for the tankers, which if we get those, it would greatly help our ISO, which would bring down the insurance rates for. Another good thing, we finally got an ambulance chassis. A lot of people don't know this, but there's a nationwide shortage. You can't get commercial chassis. Dodge has actually canceled all of their commercial orders. We spent the last year trying to get a chassis. Last week, they finally told us it's over, it's canceled, can't get any Dodges or any Fords commercial chassis. You can't buy a regular commercial chassis. It has to be coded as an ambulance chassis. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're breaking the triple K laws, all the laws regarding those builds. So Chief Brown was very persistent. He told them in nice terms, nice fish terms, that he'd find them an ambulance.
They could understand
find somebody in the United States with an ambulance and we'd buy from them.
Yeah.
So after that, they somehow came up with a Dodge ambulance, and we have one coded for us. They can out sometime. No solution in sight, so that's a good thing. Everything else is all good. Got our match grant in, got our carbon lighting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Scott.
I don't have anything.
Thank you.
And yes, sir. I want to thank our medical director for. I've never seen one so many times as I've seen you.
Thank you.
Good or bad? Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
We really appreciate the involvement of what you're doing, and really good to see you come to these meetings and be involved as much as you are. And I know you're on some day-to-day stuff, so we appreciate it very much.
Yes. Ms. Gail is not here. Polly is not here. Ms. Angie?
I need board approval for a full-page ad for the Swanee River Fair program. It's $150 for a full page.
Motion. We got a motion, Mr. Thiessen, second by Mr. Hatch, and a third by Mr. Wood. All in favor.
Also, a baseball banner for the baseball team for the board.
Motion.
I think it's $125. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second,
Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Uh-huh.
And also, since we spoke, I have one for the softball banner, and it is $100.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second,
Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Uh-huh.
That's all I have, unless you got something for me.
Thank you. Mr. Cannon.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, if you'll turn in your booklet, County Manager's Report, it's a three-ring binder today. We'll just go ahead and jump right into it. On the action item list, I need board approval to execute the North Florida Professional Task Work Order for Northeast 82nd Avenue, which is house chairs from Northeast 592nd Street to US 19 in the amount of $191,500. This is for the design and engineering services of that project.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Wood?
Second.
Mr. Hatch, all in favor?
Aye. Number two, I need board approval to execute the Lochter & Associates task work order for the very same road, Northeast 82nd Avenue, in the amount of $119,479. This is for construction engineering services on the back end of the contract.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Wood?
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all. Number three, I need board approval to accept the lowest quote for the clean out of the Old Town and around the Hodge property of the 55A canal system. It's west of Highway 349, County 349. This is to remove and install new culverts in the amount of $140 per hour rate with Dixie Dragline Services. And this is based off of three quotes and Stormwater Task Force recommendation of the lowest quote.
Motion.
You got a motion, Mr. Stevenson?
Thank you.
Second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor?
With that said, I want to add there as well, we are continuing, when I say we, you, the board, had voted and vowed to help Stormwater Task Force with the road department staff, and they are continuing to do that. So there's a few projects that commissioners are asking for, and it's on the list of the maintenance crew to be completed, but with us helping the task force every day, I mean, we have a crew of inmates. They're with them, getting anything they need, taking down the fences as we cross the property lines. It's just very involved at this time. And even though we're in these dry times, this is the best opportunity we have to fix these issues. I just want y'all to bear in mind when y'all ask for these projects from administration, from my staff, and the road department, we are behind, but we're being very attentive to the Stormwater Task Force group, and we're spending a lot of dollar and a lot of time on this to ensure, you know, the flooding issue. So I want y'all to be aware of that. We're continuing supporting them. Number four, I need board approval to execute the FDOT grant agreement for County Road 351. That's from Southeast 163rd Street to County Road 351A. This is a resurfacing funding project in the amount of $3 million. This will cover the gap. The city completed the municipal scope last year down to the Little Red Store area. This will continue that south to connect to where y'all had a paving project about 4 years ago completed from Horseshoe coming back to town.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
Follow up with that, I need board approval of the resolution 2023-12 in support of that FDOT grant agreement in the amount of $3 million.
Motion.
A motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Number six, I need board approval for an amendment number five time extension for the PTGA. It's a runway 422 out at the airport, and it's a time extension due to design, and it's in conjunction with the airport and prison design study that's ongoing due to the flood.
Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
And then with that particular grant, I need board approval of the resolution 2023-19 in support of that time extension.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Number eight, I need board approval to accept the bid that we received for the portable office building that's located out at the health department. Well, we advertised one time. We didn't receive any sealed bids. We put it back out to bid, advertise, and received one from Mr. Ronnie Hunt in the amount of $650. It's my recommendation to accept that. Based off and in the bid, they will be cleaning up the property as well once they remove the building.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson?
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Number nine, I need board approval and a really direction. This is in regards to the old jail site here just east of us here in the town of Cross City. We've got a couple things going that I want to discuss about here, number nine and number ten. Are in line with each other. Last board meeting, or let me just start back. So about a little over a month and a half ago, was approached by an individual who wants to purchase county property. Brought it towards before the board. The board gave us direction administratively to get an appraisal. The appraisal has come back. We do have it today, and that's what we need to discuss about. It came back in at $80,000 for the old jail property, the whole city block. But in the meantime, the Town of Cross City, City Manager John Driggers reached out to me and wanted that he's got a letter in your manager's report today requesting a portion thereof that property. And it will go in conjunction. And Greg at any time, Greg actually No Farther Professional Services, he is working with the Town of Cross City on this project. It'll be the city is asking for the board to donate half of that property for a retention pond to serve as a drainage for the city streets. So there's three or four city streets that go underwater around the housing project. We've got a couple things going on here. Y'all have asked me to get an appraisal and see if we do want to sell it. We do have an interested party to purchase. We now have the Town of Cross City requesting half of that property. So, well, you can read that letter of request there. And Mr. Greg, if there's anything you'd like to add to that CDBG grant or application at this time.
Yeah, just to kind of, you know, the city had reached out. They recently hired us. They did successfully get a grant to do some drainage improvements in that area. And previously we had looked at it for them, and our options were to either find an area that they could get a holding area for stormwater, or possibly pipe it all the way down to the Nature Coast Trail. Obviously, the cost of that part was quite a bit higher than the other. And I'm now getting around to, I guess, making the official request.
I've got a couple of questions on that, and I've got a couple of concerns. If you dig a retention pond in that area, that's low in there. A lot of that water was coming up out of the storm drains, and actually a lot of it was coming from the sewage from the prison and in other places because the plant over here was down and that stuff was coming out of the manholes. So if we dig a retention pond there and we get in that same type of vent, aren't we going to be putting raw sewage water right into the aquifer, into our drinking water through the retention pond?
That's indeed the case. I'm not aware of that, the sewage backflow, but that's exactly what y'all
are. 90%, I ain't going to say it, but 90% of that was in that streets was sewage. So that's my major concern, and before y'all go to digging retention ponds, you'll need to look at that aspect. What was happening is the plant was down. Prison's still pumping, trying to pump theirs out. That's the lowest point. So she's belching coming up out the manhole. So the pump is pumping, sending it to the plant. The plant can't take it. Water's going to go somewhere. And that's the lowest point right there in town. You might want to check into that before y'all start digging holes right there.
You're saying that came from the prison?
Correct.
From the sewer system lines?
Right. They push him back this way. The plant can't take it.
Yeah.
That water's going to go somewhere. That's the lowest point. It's coming out of the manhole.
Builds up.
And actually, me and Jamie, we kept going around. I finally got them to shut them down because they was just pumping for no reason because they couldn't gain control of water coming from the faster than they could pump.
Does the city know that?
Yes, sir.
Is that all your concerns?
That's all my concern on that side of it.
What's your rest of it?
Hmm?
What's your rest of it?
I put it up. I mean, what y'all want, I mean, to hold off to get their finding on that, if they're petitioning for half that property, we'd appraise it to sell it. But, I mean, I can't see, in my mind, putting a retention pond there knowing what's going to happen.
Well, I want to make sure that man's, the interested party is still going to be interested if we get
without
that too late.
No.
Mr. Chairman,
we need to get rid of it.
I can answer that, Mr. Chairman, if I can. I did actually reach out to him, Mr. Wood. He said that he would still be interested in it, depending on the city doing their due diligence and ensuring that it was kept properly, and probably some of the same concerns that Mr. Stevenson is having is about overflow. But obviously, you know, fenced in, which that was something the city manager had told me, Mr. Chairman, that they would ensure that it got totally fenced in and properly maintained. So I think I got an answer from the interested party that they would still be interested in purchasing. If the board so chooses to separate it, they would still want the building and at least half of that city lot.
So they're wanting the old jail itself?
Correct. Yep.
And then probably if you just north and south property line, basically, and then...
I didn't get into the weeds of it with him. I just said, hey, it's come to my attention now that the city is requesting from the board to get half of that. Would that deter you from putting a bid in if the board chose to go another route with half of the property? He said it would not.
What value does it have to the county and being within the city? What is there the staging areas that we might use it because it's county property? I mean, we right there close to the county yard, so I really can't. That's no
more. Not in that area, and that's the thing. So I've been with the county 8 years. We've been through about 9 or 10 different state of emergencies.
We've
done nothing on that but try to prevent a burden or a lawsuit, a liability. There's always breaking in. You know, there's always issues there at the place.
That's where I was going to land.
To my knowledge, Mr. Hatch, we've never had a use.
That's for it. Well, the other side of that, there is a lot of residents living over there in that area, and I know they have water issues over there.
Sure.
But so does 90% of the county. Mm-hmm. But what I would not want to do is go there and sell a piece of property whenever we got a bunch of people that could benefit from it. Now, if we can divide it in half and appease both sides, I'm pretty good with that. Is the city looking at wanting us to donate this property to them?
So the letter of request is just that. let's see here.
And I have a question while you're looking at that. Mr. Bailey, you may know this one. They got a grant. And it was an unspecified parcel that they're going to dig this hole in. So did the grant not include money to purchase property?
And if that question, Grant Fox is the administrator
on I wasn't sure if you would know it or not, but, I mean, you know, we get grants a lot of times. There's money there for purchasing, especially when you reach out and you say, I want to build a retention pond, but I don't know where I'm going to do it. So I'm going to have to probably buy property. So... And we've got a piece of property for sale.
Yeah.
And acquisition.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Just the letter just says they're requesting the use of the property, so from the best I can tell of it.
No.
I don't want
to just allow them to use it.
No.
Or either donate it to them.
So I would rather donate with a reverter clause if they go to sell it. It comes back to us. It's kind of like they did on the Woman's Club with us. But that, after it had an environmental sensitive survey done to it also, before we accepted it back.
It has to be quite a bit, but definitely my advice on use, absolutely not. All we're doing is accepting liability for a retention pond. So the first kid that goes out there and drowns in that retention pond,
that was what I was
hello.
Right, and that's where I'm at, too.
And I'm thinking that, you know, this is not the attorney speaking, this is the person. My concern, if I was a citizen living right there with kids, Gainesville has them all the time drowning these retention ponds.
That was my first thought.
And I'm thinking if you citizens, I don't know how well they are aware that there's a retention pond fixing going in their front door.
There's a lot of kids back there in that neighborhood.
A bunch.
And they fix and put water. So what happens with kids and water?
We got one young man back here on the back. State your name, please.
Thank you. Young man comment. Appraisal, Mr. Cannon. 80,000 entire block.
It was very minute. It was because, you know, so old and I have to bring it up to code. I have to go back and look at the appraisal in depth to give that exact number.
But the adjoining property owner is interested in the building,
right? Yes, he wants the property with the building owner. He would like to refurbish the building.
Now, I'm going to say this.
Yes,
Charles City got the highest water table
in Dixie County. It's pretty dry right now. You notice our lakes and ponds are going down fast. But you can drill a well out here in Cross City, the water level's within 5 feet on top of the ground. Right now, as dry as we are, you go out here and you dig every kitchen pond. But a kitchen pond would be good right now if we had a good hard rain and them streets got water coming flowing down through them. The water goes into that retention pond. It would help right now. But when you dig a retention pond, you get down there, you're going to get in lime rock over there. I promise you.
And then they're going to flow out into the road.
That's exactly right. And if someone happens to get into a little underground stream of water, you're going to have to cover it up. Okay? In an event that we had, when we got 60 inches of rain and all that water coming here, that retention pond is not going to help none. And it's just going to hold water. You're going to have mosquito problems.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Depending on how many springs they get, when they dig that lime rock, it could flow out of it.
It could.
Just like the springs along the river.
Yep, I have seen that. Our problem up here was the water come, but it got to a certain point, and it was dammed up. It couldn't go. So the problem is you've got to fix it where it can get underneath that old railroad track. That's where the water can, yes, you know, we're doing all this digging and stuff, opening these canals and stuff up so the water can flow. We can't stop it from rising. All we can do is help it to flow faster and quicker and get out here quicker instead of just damming up and sitting in one spot like it does. So.
Mr. Bailey, didn't you state that there also will be, if once this gets done, phase two would be to get it to the DEP trail?
Your phase will be
to connect it. Which is the ultimate plan.
Wasn't that the first thing that you talked about? Wasn't that one of the other options other than retention pond was to do that to start off with?
That's the ultimate plan, but they don't. They can't get enough money to fall that. Fence was running past pipeline from up there, that location down there.
There's another right-of-way to do it.
But unfortunately, Mr. Chairman, it is a decision by the board. So, two different things here. You know, so we now have provided the appraisal that I was requested. The interested party would still be interested in submitting a bid if you also chose to split that up. But if there's anything else you would like for myself, staff, or the attorney to look into, you know, to see or go back to the city, getting all the defiance of the deal, I could request that.
How about this? How about we make a motion to table this until the next night meeting? Give you time to make sure that person is interested in and exactly what he's interested in, north, south, or east, or west line, if we split that property, and then give the city time to look and see if they split it. To me, I think north and south would be the way to split that. Keep the front half for the man who's wanting to buy it. He would still buy it or put a bid in to buy it.
Sure. Yeah.
Then we'll have more of a feeling of what we need to do from that point forward. So that's my motion to table it.
Got a motion to table it?
Hatch. I'll second that. We can amend it a little bit.
All right. What is it?
I want to add to it that they make sure that we do our due diligence to make sure if we do send it to the city that we're not going to create a problem of putting stuff into the aquifer and our water table.
Most definitely.
Yeah. And we got to do all those surveys and make sure that we're not going to create a flooding problem by digging that when we get into a high water
table. So we got a motion and a second. Mr. Stevenson, any more discussion?
She's talking. We need to listen.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, you were trying to hear what we were talking about.
Was y'all discussing that or something else?
We were actually discussing how to facilitate what y'all were requesting. Yes, we did. Right. Thank you.
You got a motion and a second?
If y'all are wanting to sell, why not let that individual buy it and him deal with the city, and then y'all are through with the problem?
Because, and I thought about that, honestly. Yeah. To me, if you go there and you say, okay, we're going to put $100,000 out here. Marquette's bought it. All of a sudden, the city, who's got all kind of money, that same piece of property is now a $200,000 piece of property. And them people over there in the neighborhood deserve better than that. And if we can help them as a county, I would rather do it that way than I had, depending on a private seller to do Admiral thing.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
But we would ensure that if they did this, it would be fenced. There are a lot of kids back there.
A ton of people back there. I know that covers it very well.
And that's some of what me and Dwayne were talking about as far as if we were to deed it over the restrictions and everything y'all were asking about. That's some of the stuff that we'd have to get with the county. But those, in order to accomplish what Jody wants, they're going to have to get some studies and stuff done. To accomplish what we all want, which is the safety for that neighborhood, you know, there are going to have to be some restrictions put in. A concern I have also is even though this bidder or this party is interested in that property, if we give half of it away, we just decrease the value of it. That's one issue. But once we put it out here, if this initial guy is not interested, we've just now become the proud owner of a building that has no value and no property to go with it to help facilitate the sale of it.
Maybe the city becomes the proud owner of a city block.
But, I mean, I think all of this needs to be, before we gift this parcel, we need to know whether or not there's money in the bid to buy it. If they've got money to buy property, then why should the taxpayers be burdened with the gifting of it when they can get the money?
That's another reason for us to take it, for you do your due diligence and you figure all that out.
All right, we got a motion and a second. All in favor.
I do need clarification. That's the table on my manager's report, number 9 and number 10, right? Everything associated with both of those?
Yes.
Okay. Number 11, then, I need board approval to place a 20-yard can on the Taylor County side for the Fiddler Crab Festival that's upcoming February 17th and 18th. This is requested by a business owner in Dixie County, Good Times Motel and Marina. Mr. Martin is helping put that on. Historically, we've done that for the weekend there. It's beneficial to both sides of the river.
We've always done it in the past, and I don't have an issue with it.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Number 12, I need board approval to allow the Stormwater Task Force to hold a project workshop to inform the public of the completed projects and the future plans to be due diligence with the Dixie County Flood and Stormwater Mitigation Money, the ARPA monies, and the upcoming airport and prison monies that we'll be utilizing. They would like to hold this workshop Thursday, February 23rd at 6 p.m. at the Old Town School Board Meeting Room, open to the board and the public. This meeting, just so y'all are aware, it'll be facilitated and ran by the Stormwater Task Force with y'all's approval.
Motion. Is that a motion, Mr. Stevenson?
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor.
Yes, sir. On that right there, I don't know how in the world we could get that advertisement out there, but we got a month to try to figure out something. I'd love to fill that room up down yonder with folks.
So I'll make a motion that we put an advertisement on the front page of the paper.
And
do
I know we got a list of.
And I'll second that.
We got a motion, Mr. Peterson, and second, Mr. Hatch, all in paper.
I think the best way to get people there is through Facebook and online, because there's not a lot of
Facebook anymore. We put it on the press paper, and then maybe you, ones that's got Facebook, can relay the message.
And do we have some phone numbers of the ones up and down that canal that have not signed that? Them is the people that need to be there.
So what we'll do, Mr. Chairman, we'll send a letter requesting them to be there. To the addresses that we sent those right of entry forms out to. We'll give them an update work page, and I have, you know, this one pager of what has been accomplished, and this is really what we're going to go over and discuss at that time. I'm just preparing that. It's not final. But we'll put that in a letter requesting there to be at the workshop. But I do not, we don't have.
Well, the other thing is, Jody kind of said it, there's some of us don't have it, do have it, but maybe through Darren's office with ESC, you know, he can type something up and we could share it all, you know, the workshop.
Building and zoning.
Yeah, building and zoning is real good.
Clerk's webpage. Don't you have
Artisan, every once in a while, he'll put something out good about us.
Artisan Inc. will advertise.
Well, Mr. Chair, my name is Jeff Hardison. I'm doing Hardison.com, the daily news website. You know, the journalist here, but anyway, I have a newspaper. Let's go beyond that. Here's the thing. Announcements are different than advertisements. What I can do is write information. People that do have internet and can read this information. Unfortunately for you folks, it's February 23, and the least amount of time that anybody can buy an ad from you would be for a whole month. And you could pay for a whole month's fee, but you get seven. In fact, there's a festival coming in March. It is advertised. You'll see it on top of calendar and leisure pages, but then further down on the other page. Seven pages, you can know more information if you want. But, you know, for a month it costs $200. That's the whole shooting match. So your manager may authorize and buy an ad or whatever if you want. We can work together, but we're going into the weeds here.
Okay.
I just want to help you know these things.
I'll make a motion to, for Dwayne and you to work together. Let's put something out there on your end also.
Thanks, sir.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Thank you. Second, Ms. Wood, any discussion?
I think you ought to do it for free.
Yeah.
you're reporting the news. This is news.
Oh, that's going to happen. I mean, there's no way around that. It's gonna, you guys are going to read about what just happened.
You're
saying about an advertising.
I got you. I'm just saying.
All in favor.
February 23rd, that's a Thursday afternoon at 6 p.m. at the Old Town School Board meeting room.
Dwayne, also on that, can we get some flowers like in our courthouse on the doors maybe, and Leon has a lot of foot traffic over there also?
Flowers?
Flowers.
Flowers.
Flowers, whatever you want.
Okay, I'm sorry. Flowers. Yes. Flyers.
Flowers.
That's what I'm going to try to get.
Red. Flowers.
Yeah.
Flowers, too.
Flyers.
What's different?
I'll get out of there. Yes.
Anywhere within our stuff that we have high, and actually we got a message board there with EMS. We could put something down there for a day or two in Old Town.
We'll get work on getting information out, sir.
I want to see Mr. David Capo stutter a little bit. What a crew of people looking at him. He says he don't stutter.
I haven't ever caught him.
Okay, so that's all the action items I have, Mr. Chairman. I do have quite a few information items now. The sheriff has sent out a letter starting Monday, February 13th, is the effective date to begin using the new public entrance and exit for the courthouse. So the courthouse security will actually officially be kicked off. We'll utilize this eastern parking lot. Every point of business contact in the Dixie County Courthouse will be at this door now here by the Women's Club here where everyone come in and out today. That is next Monday, February 13th, 2023. The second thing, a couple different department heads has alluded to this, and Mr. Bailey had talked about it, but we did in fact submit all of the appropriations requests that was sent before the Board of County Commissioners, my staff and myself. We've got them all submitted, and they're all written out there. There, we also, another piece of property down in Suwanee become available this week. That's adjacent to County Road 349 where we have our public boat ramp. The amount that I got, that it is available for the board to purchase at $150,000. If y'all would be interested, y'all get with me and I don't know how we can do. Maybe we can sell.
Do we got? Well, I mean, where are we gonna get the funds? We got grants available to do that, or what?
No. But it is available.
How big is it?
Oh, it's in your packet. Let me look at it.
It is.
Boat trailer park.
It's 0.22 acres. 0.22 acres.
Less than half acre.
Okay. Adjacent. 349 highway access.
Okay. I was just wondering.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Mr. Stevenson, we are still gathering the quotes to get a list up of all the county vehicles for GPS. I should have that in the next couple of weeks, hopefully, for, you know, to install GPSs in all county vehicles.
What?
That was requested by Mr. Stevenson a few before meeting, maybe last four meeting or meeting.
Must have missed that one.
I think it would be beneficial for the county to know where our vehicles are at, where people are at, whether these dump trucks are moving, or just goes back to the mic incident if someone wasn't able to call. How long would that man lay there in that truck with that tree on him before somebody realized that truck wasn't moving? A safety factor and accountability factor. Most of all your larger trucking companies, anything, have these in the vehicles to let them know if the trucks are moving, not moving, and what's going on so they can better account for their people and their whereabouts. I mean, I think it'd be very beneficial for the county.
And then the rock pit, we went back to the county rock pit on 351, and then, you know, the 3 weeks of January that we was there, we've hauled 84 loads of rock out of the rock pit. So,
there's tons of rock in there. I drove around that thing. It's amazing how much is there. We just got to get to it.
Mr. Chairman.
While we're on Dwayne, who will make the motion for the Valkyries?
Mr. Hatch made a motion to approve the vouchers.
Second.
Got a second, Ms. Peterson. All in favor?
Aye.
Is that it? Ms. Chaina.
I had a call, of course, I relayed it out to the appropriate people, but I need a little direction from the board on code enforcement. We've got some cases, got one that's in the court system. Our 20 days, I didn't look at it, I should have exactly when it's coming up, but it should be any day now for them to respond, which will move it to the next step. That case is in the system. It cost us roughly $1,000 to file it, just so y'all know that wasn't my fee. That's the clerk. The court, any case filed in the court has to be filed and paid. So it costs us roughly $1,000 to file it. I've got probably 6 to 10 that C's turned over to me that's the next step. Okay. Now C's told me he's got tons more that he hadn't brought to me yet. I need to kind of know what kind of budget we want to spend on filing these cases. You know, if we file 10, we're talking about $10,000. Okay, so the call I got led to this was in regards to one of the cases that's laying on my desk, and it's not the one y'all want me to be next, because I know which one y'all are going to ask me about next. It's the Swanee property, and I need to talk to y'all individually about the Swanee property or whatever to kind of give you a little background on that. But the next one that logically makes sense is probably the one that I got the call on. It's ready to file, it's ready to go, but it's going to be another $1,000. So before I spent the money without anybody knowing that I'm spending your money, I wanted to bring it up. You know, how much money do we want? Do we want to spend $10,000 a month? Y'all say go and we'll file the cases, but...
at the end of the day, on filing all this stuff, cleaning this stuff up, are we acquiring the property to resell to recoup the county's funds, or how are we going to swing about that?
That is one of the things we're asking for, is the court to grant that. Now, that's not my call. That's something that the court makes that decision. We have put in a foreclosure because we are a lien holder, basically. We haven't had the judgment perfected, and all this is where we're going. And we would be the lien holder, which would then... go back to as lien holders, we can foreclose on property forward. So all things that
we're... Didn't we just sell a piece of property down there for like $60,000 or $52,000? Where did that money go? I thought we was going to put that over there in a in a fund for him and kind of build his budget line or whatever. Is that, am I wrong?
That was that code enforcement payoff we got. Yeah, we did get the money.
This is the next step. This is where you're at. This is the process it goes forward. Ultimately, I mean, yeah, it costs money, but the owners were aware of that from the very beginning, and this is part of bringing it into compliance. And what's the other option?
Yeah, I'm tired of the other options.
But, I mean, and that's the reason I brought this to y'all as far as most of the cases that we're setting ready to go on are at least a year old.
So they move forward.
Yeah.
To clean it up, it's going to cost.
Now, you need a number of how far to go, correct?
Right, and that's kind of what I, and I'm, if y'all don't want to give it to me today, but I did want to put it out here so y'all would know what my dilemma is from here as far as I got no problem filing it, you know, because it don't cost me money. It's costing our county money, so I needed some direction on.
Work on that, Dwayne.
Chairman, I do have, so in our budget book that y'all did approve this year, we approved $20,000 under code enforcement for heating services and cost of going through these for this year. We didn't know an exact amount. We don't know how many can be processed, so we said, hey, let's start out with $20,000. So my suggestion administrative to the board would be to allow her and Steve to work on this up into what we have budgeted and see where we're at. Now, in the response to didn't we just get money and shouldn't it go back to code enforcement to do this, we set the $20,000. Now, next year, if we want to put more money in this line item, we can. But as far as money, when the board gets money, it goes to general fund, which then pays code enforcement to do these duties. So, I don't think y'all should get in the weeds of earmarking money to do that all over.
I agree with that.
But
yeah,
for there is a $20,000 line item.
Moving forward.
I don't know how far that will get us. I just know we budgeted $20,000 for hearing costs.
Okay. So that's what I will work with, you know, so that y'all can at least answer
the question. I say run to it. Like you said, you get to the 20, and when you get to that 20 mark, then we'll come back and we'll readdress it.
We need a motion on that.
Yeah, I just needed some direction. And I have nothing else, and we're good.
Okay. Let's pick a bottle.
I just want to kind of give Stella an attaboy. I think all of y'all will agree how great she does being the board secretary. But along with that,
the perfect timing.
Her and her team working for the board. All the minutes for 2022 are approved. Board meeting audio, state of emergencies, resolutions are all current and posted on our website. All the ordinances, resolutions, proclamations for 22 are current. She submitted all the 22 ordinances to Tallahassee and the Municode. She scanned into the clerk's electronic system all the ordinances from 1971 to 2021, all current. Resolutions from 1963 to 2021. Proclamations from 1997 to 2021, all for research purposes. She's processed 66 tax deeds for auction, sold 3 properties from the list of land, exceeded 3 properties from the list of land for the BOCC. Currently reconciling and balancing the tax deeds unclaimed funds account. So along with everything she does for y'all, she is just, her and her team, they're doing excellent. I'm very proud to have them.
And I second that because she always helps me when I need her to pull something for the board.
She's pulled a lot of stuff these last couple of weeks for me from back in 2005 and back in 2002 on what we had went through earlier in this meeting to find out, you know, clarify some stuff. So thank you very, very much on that.
And along with her digging, I want to pass this along. These are the boxes that were labeled for destruction. 1967, this is where Washington, D.C. donated the first flag that hung over the courthouse.
I'm glad you saved it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
That's really cool.
That needs to be in a frame.
It's going. I've already ordered the frame. It's going to hang in our hallway.
Man, frame.
Tell Mr. Chairman, with the budget and what we vow to do this year with all the department heads, Ms. Jackie and Ms. Brenda and myself and staff will be sitting down next week to go over where we're at in the budget right now with each individual department head. So we'll get into all the line items beginning next Tuesday with them. So I appreciate y'all taking the time to do that, Mr. Chairman.
So this will be heading into preparing for the budget process that we're trying to do.
What we had to go through about getting the W-2 together and units and that where we mostly with them.
One nightmare after another.
Yeah.
This is the second year we've gone through it. Really the third.
Yes.
It's the third. The normally with an accounting system you can put out your information for your W-2s and your 1099s. And we have yet to be able to do that with units. That's one of the things that I asked for when we asked about when we were starting with this upgrade. Oh no, it'll all work. Well, we get down to January and we can't print. And anything that does print is gobbledygook. And it just was, it was really a nightmare. It was a nightmare. The girls worked all kinds of extra hours trying to, you know, they had to recreate spreadsheets, and we had to send it off privately and then have it mailed out, you know, that they processed it off-site. And we went round and round and round with units. It's just, the system is a pain. It really is a pain. But, you know, it's hard because when you start doing accounting, it's expensive. And you have to have the time to switch it over also. I mean, it can be done, but, you know, it's going to be one of those processes that we need to look into a better accounting system that actually will meet our needs. It stinks. I mean, it really does.
And I had her say,
I want to mention something. It may ruffle feathers. It may not. My first things I mentioned when I came on was get rid of mutas and get a new accounting
system. I understand that.
Yeah.
And he all said that we couldn't do that.
Well, you know, you got a mess going on.
No,
you can't do the mess and do a new accounting
system. Well, we're close to doing exactly that now. I mean, it's just 3 years.
Yeah,
we're in
the process.
Yeah,
that's
I understand.
I wanted her to say that, to say this. Y'all approved us in the last month or so, $8,000 to, was that for upgrades?
It was that printing.
We've approved several upgrades to the Munis system to bring it up.
We haven't spent that money, but we have reached out to another company who works with small counties who we think will really help us. And so I just wanted to let you know that we have reached out, and it may be that we get rid of Munis and go with something
else. Well, my thing is this, because I remember exactly what Judge is talking about.
And
it was,
yes.
Well, we all agreed then.
Right.
We couldn't do it at the time.
But we
are getting closer. And actually, our audit, I was going to ask you how we was there, because that was one of the things, you know, we was behind the audit. We went home for 2 years and had to plug, blah, blah, blah. So as we worked through all that,
yeah.
and we're getting to the point now to where there's no unplugging and plugging and blah, blah, blah.
To get normal.
We can we can do exactly what Jody suggested a couple of years ago.
Absolutely. No, we all knew Nina's stuff. But we were in the middle of such a mess that you can't...
Can we clarify one thing?
Yes, sir.
Because you just talked about Munis, and Munis is a computer program. It's not a live and person. Even though we act like she is, there's no Board of County Commissioner or Circuit Court employee. It's a computer program.
It's been difficult.
But I think we're getting to his point now.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're getting very, very close.
And
I agree with that.
Yeah, I do too. Like I said, though, we couldn't just, you know, you could say, well, just stop doing this, but when you've got it all mixed in together and you couldn't possibly do it, so you get stuck straight.
Talk right down to them for a second.
Yeah, you've got to go leaps and bounds and strides. I really appreciate it. And a lot of the people in the public don't know, and I'm going to lay this out there, and it may hurt some feeling, but it's going to put us in perspective on where we are today. We got a lumber mill right out here that got a grant, or it's not a grant, a loan, through the government, through the county, to get that thing up off the floor and run it. They paid that back in due diligence time, no problem. They wanted to do upgrades. They came back to the county to get another loan through the county to do upgrades out there. We sent it up to Tallahassee. They denied it. Not on them people's finances, because D.C. County's finances was so bad that the government wouldn't loan us money for those people. Now, if that ain't a kick in the stomach, fellas, I don't know what is it. Them people out there have been working night and day trying to fix that. And we're getting close to getting out of that hole.
And we're not perfect yet. We're not perfect yet.
We'll get that.
We're getting better. You know, Brenda's doing an excellent job. She's gonna serve y'all well. But we're still digging out of the hole. We're still digging some.
But we have a great finance team also.
Yes. The ladies in our office are wonderful.
They're dedicated.
Mm-hmm. And this county is very important to all of us. Absolutely.
I know y'all had to do what y'all had to do, but I just wish we could spend that money on a new system, rather than trying to fix the old system to get it to where we could get rid of
it. That upgrade didn't cost anything. It was included in our annual maintenance. But it cost in wear and tear and pain and suffering. Believe it.
Not the tears.
I started working on that a year ago, September. And when it comes to being when the date for our upgrade, they crossed it over, but we couldn't print for weeks. We had trouble printing checks. We couldn't do just all kinds of stuff that just, it wears you out and it puts you further behind, because you already were behind, but now you're really behind because you can't do normal day-to-day stuff. We sweat it out. I can't tell you how many times I've had to call Dwayne and say, I don't know if we're going to get payroll out or not, because we're in this pickle. I mean, I have gotten, my hair was not this white. Right here.
I had a full head, too.
But like I said, we toughed it through, and nobody's ever missed a paycheck since Barbie's been in office. It's been on time, and, you know, maybe a day squeaking in under the wire, but we haven't. And we haven't missed getting. We had the payroll, the AP stuff. I think one time was delayed, like there was a 3 weeks because it couldn't get stuff print and reports and all that stuff. I don't even think it was 3 weeks, but anyway, during the last summer we had that one problem. But other than that, we have managed to survive it. But, and, you know, your vendors are getting paid. The reputation of this county has come up several notches, I think. But, you know, I guess we're not perfect yet. We still have some issues, but we're trying to get there. We're getting there.
Well, I know I certainly appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
It's been a challenge, but it's also been a blessing. Thank you.
County Commissioner items. Woods?
Yeah, I've got some stuff, but I'll get with Dwayne on that later.
Okay.
In my district. I want to say thank you to my everybody that's helped me. I've been playing catch-up in my district a little bit. Stuff needs to be done. Dwayne's been very, very good, of course. So there's the road department, solid waste, Mr. Rod, Mr. Steve, whatever Nick's done in the air and back for me. But no, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
Mr. Hatch?
Thank Nick for everything he's done. Really good job. I appreciate it. But we ain't got a whole lot of good news. Just hunting season goes out in Alabama this weekend, so I'll be back.
Come back tomorrow.
Hey, y'all have a good weekend.
Only thing I got is I've had several citizens complain about the shoulders on 353. They're beat out again on the edge of that road. That road's in there. We go in there ever so often and put down lime rock. I wonder if we could look at putting some milling down and those cars and stuff. Maybe so we don't have to make so many trips going back to try to fix.
Yeah.
But that road's in there and everybody runs off of it.
That's Governor Hill Lake Road?
Yeah.
Governor Hill Lake Road?
Governor Hill. 353.
Gotcha.
And I'd like to... I think I mentioned it before, maybe we could get some kind of project to widen that road some or something, because it is...
You can't pass someone without running off the road.
Huh?
You
know
what?
And
to work on that thing too, as well.
What you mean?
That ain't my district,
so... All
the turnovers, the red lights.
And I wanted to check on where we at with the Garnto Springs bank build back or fixing back region project.
We met with the engineers and staff out there this week. We will do a remediation project within the next 2 weeks. But we will also, y'all have approved to apply for some funding to have bank stabilization there. I don't know exactly when that application period is available, but I will find that out and get y'all that information back. Unless, Mr. John, do you recall when that Rivers grant for the...
I believe it was in April, but don't quote me.
Okay. We'll get an exact amount of times, but for the time being, it'll just be a Band-Aid until we have another flood, the road department, within the next few weeks. So we'll fix that bank.
Monday. Show me starting on Monday. Because I had something else for him to do, and he said, I've got to do this.
Well, and the
something happens and he can't get to it. Give us 2 weeks.
The community center where they fix the tile looks good.
Okay.
So that that looks good out there. That's all I got.
I want to thank everyone who stayed. Good meeting. And so now it's the public's turn. I got a young man, Mr. Paul Greenwell. Your turn.
I'm with the Senehatchie Stingray Recreational Association, and we formed about a year ago, and we're now 501c3, and we talked with the community and had great support for fixing up the track and also help at the elementary school in Senehatchie. What we'd like to do is provide more recreation for the kids of Senehatchie and Gina. I'm the president of Senehatchie Stingray Recreational Association, and Gina's a 10-acre track off of 358. Our goals are on the back of the page that I just handed out. The front is the Google Earth. Right now, the heliport, emergency heliport, is on the field, on the existing field. What we'd like to do is get with the county and decide. I think there was y'all were asking for a grant at one time to get a heliport put in that area?
I think we
reached out to apply. I don't know if we got
it.
Roy's working on it.
And then we was looking also cost for one, would maybe get some quotes if we had to do it ourselves.
But what we'd like to have, we're raising money. The Stenahatchee Chamber of Commerce has promised some financial help. Good Time Marina has already done fundraisers, and they've already promised another fundraiser in June for more money. We would like to get, if you're looking at the area, the field under construction, right before COVID, a group of people went in and brought in material, and then it just died with COVID. There's 60 or 75 loads of, I wouldn't call it soil, but material.
Sediment removal out of the
Stenahatchee
River.
Yeah. And our thoughts was is if we get this field graded and start working on grassing that one, and also get the, where I've got the heliport, the future parking, get that graded. If we could get good grass for a helicopter to land there, then they would no longer be using the existing field. If you look at your aerial there, you can see where there's been people turning around in it. I don't think it's all ambulance, but it certainly doesn't help with that sandy soil to have the ambulance dual wheels coming in and turning.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some major repairs that need to be done. We're willing to raise funds as much as possible, but there's just some things with bulldozers and motor graders we can't raise that kind of funds. And so we're asking y'all any help you can give us. We would greatly appreciate it. I know I talked to TDC, and TDC talked to Mr. Hatch, and he asked me to come and speak with y'all. And, anything we can do, I mean, I want to work with y'all. We had a work day over the other day, and we pressure washed it, cleaned up. And 2 days later, the pressure washer and a couple things were missing out of the concession stand already gone. So, you know, if we can get some security cameras, I don't know if it would do, but, you know, the breaker boxes on the outside, so if you come up there and turn the lights on and off with the breaker boxes and then turn it off, well, everything in the refrigerator goes back. This is a request to put a breaker box inside to control, you know, the refrigerator and different things like that. Anything y'all can do for us, we appreciate it. We're raising money. We're going to be buying fertilizer and seed. With y'all's permission, we're going to start doing some seed on the existing field. And we appreciate any help you can give us.
I have met with them and CDC and all, and I think, honestly, the grader is right there anyway. I mean, that's no real biggie that we could go there and start doing some stuff there. It's a great cause. It's a much-needed cause. Anytime we can keep youngins busy, that's a good thing. So I would like for Dwayne to work hand in hand with him and put some more stuff on Dwayne's plate.
Yep.
He don't have enough.
It's counties.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Dwayne, anything we
can
do, we'll help you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Need a motion to
adjourn.
We've got a motion.
That was too fast.
Second, all in favor.
Aye.
Motion, Mr. Stevens. Second, Mr. Stewart.
Dwayne, are we still, is that still going on out there?
Yeah, the sheriff just asked how much longer did I anticipate. I told him a few minutes. It's at the training building.
So y'all all headed out there?
Whenever I finish up here, I plan to get out here someplace. You going out there?